Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to be able to share the message from the Lord today with you. It's a pleasure whenever I get an opportunity to do this. And so this morning, we'll be looking at basically Jonah 4, but also the last part of Jonah 3. So if you would turn with me there. And while you're turning there, I want to kind of give us a brief overview or review of what has happened in the book of Jonah up until this point so that we have a good context of where we are. So starting at the beginning of Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, but the message was not for Israel. The Lord told Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria at the time. As Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, he tries to flee to the city of Tarshish by ship, which was in the complete opposite direction of Nineveh. Jonah was fleeing the presence of the Lord, but the Lord does not let him. As soon as the ship that Jonah was on hit the open sea, there was a great wind that blew and made the sea very rough. The sailors did everything they could to lighten the load, but nothing was working. They all called out to their own God except Jonah. Nothing happened. So they cast lots to see who was responsible for this distress, and they found that Jonah was at fault. So they asked Jonah what they should do, and he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." So after some more hard rowing, they finally decided to listen to him and threw him overboard, and the sea ceased from its raging. The sailors feared and worshiped the God of Jonah and made sacrifices. These sailors here are Gentiles. This can be found in the first chapter of Jonah. After throwing Jonah overboard, God appointed a big fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. During this time, Jonah cried out to the Lord in prayer in what seems to be true repentance. This is found in chapter 2. After Jonah's prayer, God spoke to the fish and it vomited him back up on dry land. So he got free transportation back to land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I will tell you." This time, Jonah obeys. Jonah goes to Nineveh and proclaims the word of the Lord to them, saying, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown." It appears that after only one day of proclaiming this, the people of Nineveh believed God and repented. The whole city turned from their evil ways, from the least to the greatest. They fasted as a city and repented in sackcloth and ashes, which is how the Jews would have showed true repentance during this time. This is found in chapter 3. Now, this is interesting because God had sent prophets to the northern kingdom of Israel for over 150 years, and they did not repent of their sins. But God sends a prophet to a Gentile city of Nineveh, and they repent on the first day. This is the second time in the book of Jonah that we see Gentiles repenting before the one true God. So this brings us up to our passage today. Today, we will be looking at Jonah, chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 11. If you have your Bibles with you this morning and you've turned there, I'm going to go ahead and read our passage in full. So follow along with me. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from danger or disaster. Therefore, now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when the dawn came the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on his head, on the head of Jonah, so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, yes, I do. I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons, who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, and as we look at this part of Jonah, Lord, I pray that you would be among us, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord, that you would speak through me, and Lord, that you would just help us to know what you would have us learn from this section of Scripture. And we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your character and your attributes, and that we can always depend on you, Lord. And Lord, as now as we dig into this, just be with us in your son's name. Amen. So I'm going to read chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 again. And the first part is Nineveh. And they said, "Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said that he would do to them, and he did not do it. Here we see the Ninevites repented and turned from their evil ways, hoping that this God would turn away his anger from them. In verse 10, then we see that God saw and that they had turned from their evil ways, and he relented from the disaster that he said he was going to bring. This passage sometimes causes people to question God's character about him changing his mind. They think that since God doesn't destroy Nineveh at this time, he isn't doing what he said he would do, making him untrustworthy. Although we do not have time to discuss this topic in detail in this sermon, I will tell you that this is indeed consistent with God's character throughout the Old Testament. We see it in several times that if God, or if people truly turned from their sins and repented from the warnings that God had given them, then he relents from the disaster that he promised he would bring upon them. And God tells us in Jeremiah about this very situation, not in Nineveh, but him relenting from his disaster. Jeremiah 18, verses 7 and 8 says, "If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it." This is exactly what happened here. Nineveh repented and God showed mercy. We need to hear what the Lord said in Jeremiah and believe him and not try to accuse him of being inconsistent. Now back to our text in Jonah. Jonah sees that God relented from the disaster that he had promised to Nineveh. He also sees that these heathen Gentiles have turned from their evil ways. There is a great revival happening in this once wicked city, but Jonah doesn't like what he sees. Do we find him rejoicing and thanking God that the people turned from their evil ways and found mercy with God? No. Jonah's reaction is quite the opposite of that. And we can see this starting in verse 1 of chapter 4, which says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry." God having mercy on Nineveh greatly displeased Jonah and made him angry. Why do you think it would make Jonah angry that God spared the people of Nineveh? Many of the Old Testament prophets would have longed to see this kind of repentance from the people that they had preached to and would be greatly rejoicing. God told many of the other prophets to do much more burdensome things with lesser results than Jonah sees here in Nineveh. Jonah preached for a day or two, and the whole city repented, so you would expect him to be rejoicing and be very glad and not angry. In order to better understand this, we need to better understand the history between Israel and Nineveh. Like I said earlier, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. For many years, Assyria had been a pain in Israel's side. Israel had been going to war with Assyria off and on for many years. During this time, the Assyrians were known for being some of the most violent and brutal people in all of the world. During the time of Jonah, Israel was starting to take cities and land back that were occupied by the Assyrians. And we know this from 2 Kings chapter 14 when Jonah prophesies good for Israel. So things were going well for Israel even though they had not turned from their evil ways. We can say that during this time, Assyria and Israel are arch enemies. So when Jonah was prophesying to the capital of Assyria that they were going to be overthrown, he was probably rubbing his hands together and saying, "Finally, you are going to be destroyed. I can't wait to see God's revenge since you've been such a thorn in our side and my people." I'm sure that we can all relate to this in some sense, that we have been sinfully glad when people get what we think they deserve. But then God has mercy on them and does not destroy them as Jonah had prophesied. So this is one thing that made Jonah very displeased and angry at God. Another reason why Jonah was so angry is that in his heart, he did not want to see God's salvation going to anyone but him and his people. After all, God's covenant was with the Israelites, not the Gentiles. How could God even think about saving those heathen Gentiles? In verses 2 and 3, Jonah bursts into a prayer to the Lord. Let's read verses 2 and 3. It says, "And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" This prayer is not a prayer of thanksgiving and rejoicing, but it is a prayer of selfish complaining to God. Look at the language that Jonah uses here in his prayer. Jonah uses the words "I" or "my" at least 8 times in these 2 verses. He is clearly wanting his own way, and he is not getting it. Jonah was trying to counsel God on the best way to do things in Nineveh and not submitting to the will of God. He's saying, "I knew something like this was going to happen. That's why I didn't come in the first place, Lord." Jonah clearly had the best plan for Nineveh. Jonah is angry that the Lord showed grace to the people of Nineveh, and he's completely forgetting the grace that he was shown just 2 chapters earlier when God delivered him from the sea. He knew that the Lord would show this grace to the Ninevites because of his attributes and character. This is the precise reason why Jonah tried to run the other way when God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah thought that God should only show grace to the Jewish people and that it would be scandalous to do otherwise. He was angry and jealous that the Lord would show grace to someone else, and this is further expounded on as we go through the rest of the chapter. In verses 2 and 3, it shows us that Jonah had great knowledge of God, but he did not let that knowledge penetrate his heart. His heart attitude did not reflect his knowledge of God. He should have been glad that God is faithful to his character and not giving sinners what they deserve. Because the Lord is good and spared the people of Nineveh, Jonah would rather die than live and see the Ninevites repent. His heart is so bitter and angry that he would rather not exist than see the goodness of God extended to others. He's basically saying to God, I will continue only over my dead body, Lord. You see, Jonah was trying to counsel the Almighty with his plans instead of resting in the plans of God's plans for the Ninevites. Now moving on to verse 4. God asks Jonah a question. Do you do well to be angry? God is trying to get Jonah to examine the heart issue he is having. Throughout Scripture, God asked questions to people to reveal what is in their hearts. God asks questions even though he already knows the answer to them. We see this in Genesis, where God asks Adam, where are you? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I have commanded you not to? God is trying to get to the heart of the matter with Adam. This is the same reason why God is asking Jonah these questions. This is how he's going to get to the heart of the issue. This is the first of three questions that God is going to ask Jonah in this section. With each question, God is going to dig a little bit deeper into Jonah. With this first question, God is trying to get Jonah to see who has the correct view of the situation. Or, as James Boyce says, it is though God had said, we are looking at the identical situation in two different ways, Jonah. I am pleased with it. You are angry. Which one of us has the proper view, our perspective? In the next section, the Lord exposes Jonah's heart from another direction. I like what Brian Astelli wrote about this next section of Jonah. And he says, quote, God is about to engage Jonah in a counseling session that Jonah will never forget. He both poses searching questions and uses a parable from nature to help the prophet get it. In other words, he depersonalizes the situation by the use of a little parable so that Jonah may engage God's instruction from another angle. He entered into a bit of experiential education with Jonah. Jonah wanted justice. God gave mercy. In verse 5, we see the start of God's lesson to Jonah. After God confronts Jonah with this question at the end of verse 4, it appears that Jonah storms out of town as quickly as he can. He doesn't go home. Instead, he goes and makes himself a little shelter to hang out and to see what God will really do with this city after all. So Jonah is not only now angry with God for having mercy with the city, but he's also throwing a temper tantrum and having himself a sweet little pity party under his little shelter. He is still hoping that God will destroy Nineveh like his heart desires. And this is right where God wants Jonah so that he can do a little heart surgery on him and with his attitude toward the Ninevites. Moving on to verse 6, we can see God's compassion and mercy for Jonah. Let's read verse 6. It says, Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Now we see for a second time in the book of Jonah that God appointed something. First, he appointed a big fish to save Jonah from drowning. And now we see that he has appointed a plant to save Jonah from his discomfort. In spite of Jonah's attitude, God has compassion on him and allows this plant to grow up to bring Jonah comfort. This is the first time in the book that we see Jonah is glad about something. In fact, it says that he's exceedingly glad about the plant. Jonah was happy because God was finally doing something for him in all of this. Finally, Jonah gets some pleasure and comfort in the midst of all of it. After all, he deserves it, right? Who deserves sitting out in the heat suffering? Who cares about those Ninevites? I'm doing just fine in the shade, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do to this, to those Gentiles. Jonah's selfishness far outweighed his love for the Ninevites. And this seems to be the attitude of Jonah in these verses. Now, as we read on, this pleasure is short-lived because God wants to show Jonah his real problem, and that is with his heart attitude. So the next day, God once again appoints something. In this case, a worm to destroy the plant that Jonah is enjoying sitting under. And on top of that, God appoints a scorching wind to blow in Jonah's face. Just to give us an idea of what this wind may have felt like, I did some research on the city of Nineveh. And the city of Nineveh is located in northern, modern-day northern Iraq, where the summer months can easily reach into the low hundreds and the winds can reach at least up to 60 miles per hour. So this wind that God appointed was not a cool summer breeze coming in off the lake like here in Michigan, but it's probably more like sitting in front of a blow dryer or a bonfire with a heavy wind, and we all know that that is not a comfortable heat. So God appointed these things, these two more things, to see how Jonah will react from the loss of the simple comfort from the plant. God is using the loss of the plant as a physical representation of the eternal reality of the people of Nineveh. Jonah reacts in anger once again, but this time it seems like he's angrier than ever about this situation. Have you ever been angry about a situation and then something super small happens and you become furious? This is exactly what is happening here, it seems. Jonah goes from being exceedingly happy to exceedingly angry. One commentator said that nowhere else in the Bible do we see such an emotional roller coaster from a prophet as we do in the book of Jonah. And this is clear from just these few verses. Once again, we see that Jonah's desire is to die rather than to live. This time is because of the loss of a plant. He's probably not only angry about the plant, but he's probably also physically weary from the weather. Jonah chooses to continue to sit out in the heat and be angry by himself rather than go into the city of Nineveh and worship God with the Gentiles there in Nineveh. If Jonah would just give in to God's will for Nineveh, he could go get some shelter from the weather in Nineveh and enjoy his life a little more, it seems. But he would rather die out in the elements than to join the Ninevites. This goes to show how caught up Jonah was in his anger about God sparing the Ninevites. God uses these circumstances from verses 6 to 8 to set the stage for his second question to Jonah in verse 9. And this time digging a little deeper into Jonah's heart. Verse 8 ends in the statement from Jonah, "It is better for me to die than to live." And this is the second time that Jonah says this. Let's read verse 9 and see what God's response is. "But God said to Jonah, 'Do you do well to be angry for the plant?' And he said, 'Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die.'" So starting in verse 9, God asked Jonah the second question. Do you do well to be angry for the plant? Here, God gets a little more specific with this question. This time, we see Jonah has no choice but to respond. His anger pushes him there. Jonah tries to justify his anger by responding, "Yes, Lord, of course, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." Jonah would rather die than acknowledge God's mercy and grace toward him and the Ninevites. Moving on to verse 10 and 11. Here, God makes a statement to Jonah that addresses both his heart and we also see the book end in a question. Let's read those verses. "And the Lord said, 'You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?'" God is calling Jonah out here. He's by saying, you have pity or compassion for a plant that you did not work for, the gift that came up and went away overnight? You did not even labor for this plant. In other words, it is not your plant, but still you have compassion for it. The plant represents the city of Nineveh, which God labored over for many, many generations. Then God finishes the chapter of the book with a question. The third question is meant for Jonah to do some soul searching as to why he is angry. God has labored over the city. Why should he not have compassion on them? Are not the people of the city of greater value than the small plant you are angry over, Jonah? You see, God has a way of getting to the heart in only a few words, and this is true here at the end of Jonah. The book of Jonah ends on a question and gives no answer to the question. God asking Jonah if he should pity or have compassion on Nineveh is meant to draw us in and examine our own hearts. The question is meant to be timeless in the fact that it is supposed to make us think about it today as the original audience would have thought about it back then. God cares for the many lost nations because spiritually speaking, they don't know their right hand from their left and will perish in darkness if they're not told the good news. The story of Jonah was also meant to be an indictment against the Jews and God's people Israel. The Gentiles repented, and the Jews, or Jonah in this case, did not repent and turn from their evil ways. We can see the outworking of this indictment more in the book of Matthew as Jesus talks to the crowds. And this is from Matthew 12, verses 38 through 41. It says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' But he answered, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." The story of Jonah starts to show us the reality we find in Christ. God shows mercy to both Jews and Gentiles, and he welcomes them into his eternal family, not based on any merit of their own. God is no longer just the God of the Jews, but of everyone who will repent and turn from their ways. We were filthy, lost Gentiles once, but because of Christ, we can now become his redeemed children. Now, in closing, we need to ask, are we like Jonah? Do we have head knowledge of the greatness of God, but never allow it to penetrate our hearts? Are we compassionate toward people and allow the will of God to play out in their lives? Or do we fight it and become angry when God has compassion on others? Do we get upset and bitter when God blesses others in ways that we wish he would not? Are you angry about God's will in some area of your life today? In closing, I'm asking these questions to help us examine our heart before the Lord. I know the Lord did reveal some things to me as I was preparing the sermon about my heart attitudes toward people or different situations. And now I ask you, is the Lord showing you sin that you need to repent of? Is the Lord using uncomfortable circumstances in your life the same way he did in Jonah's life to reveal sin in your heart? We don't know what happened to Jonah after the book. We don't know how Jonah dealt with the sin that was revealed in his heart. We do know, however, the answer to our question today. How are we going to deal with the sin that is revealed in our hearts? Do we do this by repenting of our sin and looking to Jesus for forgiveness, the author and perfecter of our faith? If God showed mercy to the Gentiles of Nineveh when they repented, will he not also show mercy to us when we repent? Jesus took the sin and shame that we deserve to bear and nailed it to the cross. So let us repent and look unto Christ. But be encouraged, if the Lord is convicting you today, not that you can just overlook what he's convicting you of, But be encouraged that he does still use people like us today to do his will. Jonah ran from the grace, proclaiming grace, and yet God still used him to accomplish one of the greatest evangelistic efforts recorded in Scripture. Likewise, God wants to use sinners like us, born of the Spirit, to take the good news to lost, unworthy sinners like us and to love our enemies. Amen.